Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Good morning, everybody. This is Danny Nesvetterani, your host for this Tuesday Speak Up, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. Thank you all so much for tuning in this Tuesday morning. And before I start, I want to acknowledge that we are on the unceded and ancestral lands of the Hulkamalum and Squamish-speaking peoples who have been here since time immemorial. And today on Speak Up, we've got quite a bit of talk program coming your way, mostly out of BC, some from myself, thankfully, as well as some coming from some of the islands off of the coast of the Lower Mainland. We've got a piece from Lauren McKenzie coming up, as well as a longer form piece from Heather Watson, who is also with CHLY as well as CVOX in the Comox Valley. And those pieces are going to be coming up quite soon. But before we play any sort of talk content this hour on Speak Up, I thought I would play a little bit of music. This first one is by Vancouver hip-hop R&B girl group Nada, who, if you haven't heard of, you're about to. So hope you enjoy and stay tuned. This track is called Delulu.
Like a cigarette, knowing that I will regret. Toxic, but I want my hip bone out of his socket. I just might, even though I shouldn't. Cause see, the day I said I wouldn't, lying to myself, knowing that I couldn't. Praying that maybe I misunderstood. Voices in my head saying make the right choices. Get your bread right, make you feel like a fortress. But you got in Akita armed forces. Cause you got me acting do-lo-lo-lo-lo for ya. Acting so brand new. Do you wanna again? I don't wanna be just friends. I don't wanna play pretend. Can I be your baby, baby? Stay up and talk all night. She may cut the wrist, but that is back, not bite, not mine. But only if you want it. Always been a picky, never been a pick me. No, you can't choose who you love. Yeah, I said it, said it, said it. I'm just scared that you gon' take me for granted, granted. Cause the ones I love to love, trust that nudge deep in my gut. Ignored it too many times. Blinded by all the signs, deaf to all the sirens. Can't see red flags, looking out rose-colored glasses. Know what's real is real, this ain't what I imagined, no. Don't wanna fight, boy, why you think you cash? Yes, you bash, got me lit up like a match. Got me acting lo-lo-lo-lo-lo for ya. Acting so brand new.
But you can't bite it. Prayers and candles lit.
took my time to sit with it. Tiger's eye and loaded tip. Lost my heart up
and me acting
We are back with Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM. The last track was by Nada, and it was titled Delulu. And coming up next, we have our first news piece of the hour. This comes from Heather Watson of CHLY, as well as CVox from the Comox Valley. And this news piece actually comes from Texada Island, and it has to do with a local bear by the name of Tex that was unfortunately killed quite recently, I think July 15th last week. And there has been a lot of sort of, you know, devastated feelings among the local community of Texada Island that apparently grew to really love this bear. So without further ado, without saying too much, I'm going to play this piece for all of you. Once again, this is Heather Watson from CHLY.
This is a CHLY and CVox news update.
This is a community that hasn't had any predators for many, many, many years. And it's a community completely unprepared for a predator as such as a grizzly bear, with all the attractants everywhere.
On July 15th at 11:42 a.m., the Conservation Officer Service, or COS, posted to social media that the grizzly bear who had taken up residence on Texada Island was found shot dead. The results of the necropsy have yet to be shared, and the identity of the shooter has not been made public. The bear, nicknamed Tex by local resident and advocate Katrin Glenn Bittner, had been on the island since late May.
On May 25th, Tex has swum over from Powell River to Texada Island, and I knew instantly. At first, I was excited, and then I was like, in the same second, I knew this was not going to be good due to the community.
Glenn Bittner says that the lack of awareness on the island meant many attractants, things that would draw the bear, were left out. Anything from bird feeders to unsecured garbage to unlocked vehicles. She says that even livestock on the island is not protected the way it is in areas that regularly cohabitate with predators like grizzly bears.
I basically started being a voice for Tex when, as soon as I heard there is a kill order on him, I've become his voice. On June 1st, I have opened up a Facebook page called Save Tex, the Texada Island Grizzly Bears. And I spoke about myself. I spoke about the community. I have tried to educate the people about bears. I have tried to educate people about around their property. There was just zero awareness on Texada Island of coexistence with a grizzly bear.
Glenn Bittner says that bears hold a special place in her family. Her brother, Dr. David Bittner, is a biologist, bear researcher, photographer, and speaker. Glenn Bittner spent several weeks with her brother in Alaska observing a dense population of brown bears. She says she also learned to coexist with bears while working with livestock on farms and ranches in BC.
I've really got to see bears, their behavior, everything, the way they're misunderstood, the way they're, everything gets misinterpreted. And they are so forgiven. They are so, they're most amazing teachers. And we can learn so much from them if we just want to.
Glenn Bittner shares what the reaction was when the community learned of the death.
When we found out of the death of Tex, the community is absolutely devastated. It broke many, many people's hearts, and this was inevitable, 100%. This should have never come to this, and the ministry has failed us and have failed Tex the most.
Glenn Bittner details how she learned of what happened to Tex earlier this week, first with a tip from a friend that the bear had been injured on Monday.
On Monday, I received a phone call from a friend of mine that was out in the area on Texada Island, and she has been stopped by the RCMP to make her aware that there is a wounded grizzly bear, and the wound was caused by a gunshot, and they didn't know where he was. And to make her aware, she phoned me. I phoned the RCMP right away. And they have made a statement with me, and they confirmed with me that the bear has been shot at. He is being wounded. They couldn't confirm the seriousness of the wound, and we made it public on social media. And several hours, or maybe 4 or 5 hours after that, a confession has been made by the shooter that has destroyed Tex on Sunday evening with the 6 gunshots that tried to hide the body for 24 hours. And that it got confessed, and he needs to be held accountable now. This was totally legal. This was, Tex has always been a respectful bear, very respectful bear. For the people that were afraid of Tex, just his presence feared them. So most people that have seen Tex on Texada Island misinterpreted the encounters with him and did not get to see the true, beautiful, gentle bear he was.
Glenn Bittner explains that she is confident in calling Tex a gentle bear, as she feels none of the encounters could be described as aggressive, or they would have ended completely differently. There was only one report of a livestock encounter, which the Conservation Officer Service investigated and released the following statement. Quote, on June 10 and 11, 2025, on Texada Island, conservation officers responded to a complaint of a grizzly bear chasing livestock. The COS investigation determined no livestock were attacked and conflict prevention advice was provided to residents. End quote. Glenn Bittner says that the government is in part responsible for the death of the bear due to a failure to act.
The fear-based narrative spread from people here, including the government through COS, was intense. It was pure hatred against these animals, and it was truly split. 30% of Texada residents wanted this bear destroyed, and lots of people wanted to see him translocated. We had, since the 9th of June, we had everything organized for Tex. This is over a month as of right now, that we had a home that has been greatly offered from Chief John Powell from the Mamalilikulu territory, that he would like to give Tex a home, and the fundings were there. Everything was organized, and there has been silence. The government, the ministries would not approve this plan for a translocation that was basically set up from leader bear biologist and Chief John Powell with the First Nation.
The 30% statistic mentioned comes from an informal survey held on an online messaging board popular among Texada residents. Communication from the COS prior to the death of the grizzly detailed 2 previous relocation attempts of this same bear twice in September of 2024, first from Gibson's, then from Seashelt. The statement declared in no uncertain terms, quote, in this case, it would not be in the interest of public safety to relocate the bear a third time, end quote. Despite this public statement, it seems plans were taking shape behind the scenes to move the bear after all. On Tuesday, following the COS post confirming the death of the bear, a statement was released by Randine Neal, Minister of Water, Land and Resource Stewardship, and MLA for Powell River Sunshine Coast. The statement included the following, quote, the timing is especially unfortunate as we were actively working with First Nations on a new plan to attempt to capture and translocate the grizzly bear from Texada Island to a remote area up the coast, far away from communities. This was done in partnership with First Nations who had come forward and requested this approach, end quote. A statement from the Tla'amin Nation on Wednesday supports the claim that plans were in place to relocate the bear. Quote, a coordinated relocation effort between the Seashelt, Tla'amin, and Homolko First Nations was already underway when Tex was illegally shot, maimed, and killed. The plan, which had been approved by conservation officials, involved setting traps to safely move Tex to a remote area at the head of Butte Inlet. We are deeply saddened by this outcome. Tex's life mattered, and our nations had come together in a good way to find a peaceful solution. End quote. The statement also shared that the Tla'amin Nation took custody of the remains and held a ceremony on Tuesday to honor the spirit of the grizzly bear. Whether knowledge of the secret relocation plan would have stopped the shooter from taking Tex's life is unknown. Glenn Bittner says this was not the first attempt on the bear's life.
There was, like I said, the 30% people that wanted him dead, but there was also the people that just wanted to be heroes. He has been shot at. last Monday, a week ago, missed. He has been chased with two ATVs, where we've seen the videos afterwards with him panting, obviously in distress. And with the shooting that destroyed him was knowing his behavior and no interest in livestock. This was just pure, this was not out of self-defense, 100%. And it was not, he was known to be wanting to shoot the bear.
Glenn Bittner says that the community needs to learn to adapt so that the same scenario is not repeated again.
We need to be proactive on Texada now, more so than ever. Even with Tex being gone now, we cannot stop to be proactive to make this island that we can welcome a bear and be ready for him, and that it will not repeat itself again, because it was unacceptable what happened with Tex.
Glenn Bittner says that she and her brother, Dr. David Bittner, as well as wildlife advocate Ellie Lam, will be working further to educate the community and alleviate the fear of bears.
Especially our youth, that we teach them just like we taught them how to cross a road safely, how to be with wildlife. It's respectful living in nature, respectful with yourself, being respectful to your surroundings.
Glenn Bittner says it is time for everyone to pause and open their eyes, to observe a different perspective on wildlife and learn from animals without fear.
Everybody seems to want to live in nature here, but nobody seems to want to live with nature. I will not stop being a voice for bears. I will come again to Texada Island, and we will be prepared, and we're not going to make the same mistake, and I will be their voice.
Anyone with information regarding the bear's death can call the Report All Poachers and Polluters hotline at 1-877-952-7277. For CHLY and CVOX News, this is Heather Watson.
This report, in partnership with CVOX, was made possible with the support of the Local Journalism Initiative, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and listeners like you. You can find more news updates, interviews, and stories from our nonprofit newsroom, as well as our news and current affairs program, Midcoast Morning, at chly.ca/news.
Thank you again to Heather Watson for that piece. A pretty tragic one, but I think one that brings to light a conversation that's happening in a lot of parts of BC regarding, you know, protection of not just wildlife, but wildlife that for some people, you know, can be seen as like daunting or scary, but is still a part of the ecosystem that we all coexist in and share. So yeah, very, very good piece. And before we get on to the next news segment of the hour, I'm going to be playing another song from another artist that is local to Vancouver by the name of Yawn. This one is titled I Deserve Better.
Sweater I thought I might buy, and then suddenly start such a bad guy. It's that I deserved better that time.
Once again, you are listening to Speak Up, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. This is Danny Nezvedarani, your community journalist and host for the hour. And coming up next, we have another piece coming from Vancouver Island. This one is from Lauren McKenzie from CHLY in Nanaimo. And it has to do with a new art exhibit that opened up in Nanaimo recently, where sort of art and science intersect a little bit. And that's all I'll say, so hope you enjoy.
This is a CHLY News Update. Art and data meet in a new art piece now on display at Oliver Woods Community Center, visualizing the history of Nanaimo. Histogram Histories is the newest temporary public art installation from the city of Nanaimo, created by multidisciplinary artist Kieran Jacques Corr. The piece is a hanging fabric installation located in the community center's lobby, showcasing different graphs tracking the changes of seven different data points across the city of Nanaimo throughout the last six decades.
All right, so this is Histogram Histories. It's a hanging installation of these fabric cylinders, and each row of the installation represents a different metric through time for the city of Nanaimo. So we go back from, I think, 1970s or 60s, and then through to the current decade. And we're looking at things like maximum temperature, minimum temperature, population growth, number of restaurants, some cultural things in there too. And then there's a really cool one called Arrival Patterns, which is a community engagement piece. And then also, it's all part of the conversation, right? It's sort of, how do we look at data? How do we interpret data? How can we use data to tell our stories? And then, of course, there's some other things that we noticed. So I did one for the number of languages, and then that one was really neat because you'd think that, you know, back in the day, there's lots of languages spoken as well, but the census form was different. So the census form had like English, French, and other, and that was it. So you've got like three, and then when it was a more open form and they had better inclusion, then you get to like 300 languages. So it's also, you start thinking about that and how that's changed through time.
That was Corr explaining the seven different graphs displayed in her newest art piece. The graphs each represent population, number of languages spoken, maximum extreme temperature, minimum extreme temperature, number of restaurants, number of Chinook, and arrival patterns.
It's a histogram, which is like a chart that, they're kind of upside down actually, but a histogram is a chart that counts something. So you can kind of count anything. In this case, we counted population and different demographic information, as well as cultural information as well. And it's data which is usually interpreted as being cold and factual and boring.
Growing up in a community-owned fabric store, Cora says they wanted to have the data come alive with colorful fabrics used to create the graphs. The data was collected through census records and information collected through the Nanaimo Community Archives.
I originally thought that if I had some aerial maps of Nanaimo, I would be able to kind of calculate some statistics off of that. And I was lucky to be able to go into the Nanaimo archives and work with Jillian and Christine there. And they gave me some ideas. Actually, Christine came up with the idea for the number of restaurants. She's like, oh, you need a cultural one, something that's like fun and maybe restaurants. And so the restaurant one is actually based off of listings in the Yellow Pages. So that's neat because they have all these Yellow Pages from back in time, and you go through and you see them. So you see them increase, and then you see them decrease. And then you're like, are there actually fewer restaurants, or did people just stop listing in the Yellow Pages? So, you know, that's kind of a fun one.
She says it was an interesting project being able to research and look at the changes in the data for each of the graphs.
I think when we look at temperature, for example, temperature is like, it's been increasing, we know that, but like by a degree or 2 degrees or 3 degrees or something. And a lot of that change is condensed to the most recent decade. So the years before, the decades before that kind of look like not much change is happening. And then visualizing it physically, because I just normalized everything to inches. So the longest ones are about 100 inches, but they represent different numbers. You can't really tell. And then you're like, but if you looked at the actual data, you're like, oh, that is actually higher.
During the research stage, community members were able to add their own input about when they first arrived in Nanaimo, which Core incorporated, displaying their names and arrival year written on pink fabric sewn on the fabric cylinders of the arrival pattern graph.
Yeah, so that piece came together as sort of a way to involve the community in this sort of storytelling of this piece. And you can see there are these long cylinders, and they're wrapped around by these ribbons. And on each ribbon, it has a name of somebody and the year that they came to or were born in Nanaimo. So we solicited that information through a survey and also a box here at Oliver Woods, where people were able to write on the ribbon and drop it in. And if they did a survey, then you'll see my writing on a lot of them. So I wrote them, stitched them together, and then wrapped them around. So it's kind of a neat way to engage people in the process of data collection, and also obviously like the art display as well, but it kind of makes people think a little bit more about like, okay, what's included here, but then also like what's missing. So it's just engaging them in that process. But yeah, so you can see there's like disproportionately, you know, a lot more people in the 2010 and 2020s, which if you lived here, you might think, oh, that feels right. That's when people came in. But you might also start to think of like, okay, well, who uses the community center? Who answered that? A lot of kids kind of find it fun and interesting to do. So you can, you can see how the data might be skewed, but also very inclusive of anybody who wanted to participate.
More information about CORE's research and photographs can be found on their website at kieran.art.com. Histogram Histories is on display at the Oliver Woods Community Center until 2030. For Sichuan News, this is Laura McKenzie.
This report was made with the support of the Local Journalism Initiative, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and listeners like you. You can find more news updates, interviews, and stories from our nonprofit newsroom, as well as our news and current affairs podcast, Midcoast Morning, at chly.ca/news.
Thank you again to Lauren McKenzie from CHLY for that lovely piece. And now that we are about halfway through the hour, I thought it would be a good idea to get into the talk portion that I had planned. And that has to do with the City of Burnaby's flag raising event that happened yesterday that I actually attended. This was a pride flag raising. Specifically the Intersex Progress Pride Flag. And attending the event, I didn't really know what to expect. I wasn't sure if it was just going to be simply, you know, a couple counselors raising a flag and then that being it. But there were quite a few speakers. There were people from the designated Burnaby Pride organization, local government employees that also identify as queer that were there sharing their stories. And it was just a really, really lovely time. And thankfully, I was able to record a lot of it. So I thought I would play some of the clips that I gathered from the event for all of you to hear as well. Later this week on Saturday is Burnaby's Pride Festival, so if you're able to attend that, you should definitely go check it out. And without further ado, I believe this first clip is a small speech that was made from Burnaby City Councilor Daniel Tatro.
Well, it's wonderful to see you all today and to help celebrate Burnaby Pride and the vibrant 2SLGBTQIA